Our scripture this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading verses 12 through 15, which will also be the text for the sermon this morning. Let's hear God's word. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good or kindness to one another and to everyone. Sends the reading in God's word. Let's again bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word you have given to us. We thank you for instructing us. We thank you, our Father, that many, many years ago, this church received this letter from Paul and the instructions that are given in it, the encouragements, the rebukes, but also, Lord, the focus upon you. Bless us now as we focus again upon you, our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Open your word to us and bless our hearts through it. In Jesus' name, amen. We had the blessing this morning of installing two elders. And the passage I chose this morning is from a passage in 1 Thessalonians that speaks of the care of elders for the church, but it doesn't stop there. It also emphasizes the care of the church members for one another. And we're going to look at that as well, with an emphasis on being peacemakers. In at the end of verse 13, it says, be at peace among yourselves, be peacemakers. And as we look at this passage, we're going to see that peacemakers, first of all, respect authority, the first two verses. Verse 12 and 13, the first part, and the main point, the latter part. We also see in verse 14a and the first part of 14, the three parts of three different areas in which peacemakers hold one another accountable. That you as members of the church hold one another accountable. And further, peacemakers are to be patient with one another. And finally, peacemakers practice kindness or are good to all. Peacemakers respect authority. Now, the Apostle Paul was quite concerned about the Thessalonian church, and we see the various problems in the church, even as he talks about holding the idle accountable, caring for the faint-hearted, being caring for the weak. And there was a problem in the Thessalonian church because there were false teachings going about. I know that your former pastor had preached through 1 Thessalonians, and not that long ago. And that 1 Thessalonians, as you would know, the people there had some wrong ideas about the nature of Christ's coming. And part of the problem was is that their wrong ideas had to do with Christ is going to come and the only people that are going to benefit from it are those that are alive. And so anytime they had a funeral, the people in Thessalonica were all concerned because they won't see Jesus Christ. Paul answers that by saying, not only are they going to see Christ, they're going to see him before you do. They're going to be raised up and meet with Christ in the sky, and then you're going to be raised up as well. And so there were problems within the Thessalonian church. These leaders had to deal with that. Now, every church, of course, has its problems. And I don't know any minister that hasn't undergone difficulties. To say a session that hasn't undergone difficulties with various members in their church. Now, I have to back up and say as well that God provided elders, plural, for the church. Do the elders always agree on everything? No, we know they don't. But they will come to agree on what the final solution is. Like they've said in presbytery, you go to a presbytery meeting, and there are times if you're going to hear two ministers debating each other on the floor of presbytery, you'd think they would never talk to each other again. And then you see them at coffee break, and they're having a good time together. Now, they know each other. They know how to hold what is right and hold to what is right. And they also respect the fact that others work with God's word as well. So the first thing Paul says in this our text today is, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Respect those who work hard among you. I've been on your session as an evangelist working in Rockford. I'm now on your session as a ministerial advisor. I see your men working. I know what they do in the background. I know what they do behind the scenes. I know their love for you. I know the care that they have for you. Know full well that your session does care for you. Respect those who work hard among you. They're over you in the Lord. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 7 says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That's a blessing to have ministers that love the word of God, elders that love the word of God, that live by the word of God, that hold themselves to the word of God. And yes, acknowledge the fact that they're sinners too. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't be here this morning if I were not a sinner. We need the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We need the cross of Christ constantly held before us. They're over you in the Lord. The Lord has given them to you. I use this kind of illustration every so often that there are really four parts to every calling. Some people would say three. I'll use four because the church gets two of them. There is the Lord in His Word. He speaks to us. He gives us what an elder, what a minister, what a deacon should be. We have you or me. We read God's word and we look into our own hearts. We pray. Here are the two parts, the two sides, as it were. Wrestling with, should I take this calling? Am I called to this? And you say to yourself, everything appears like I should be, but there are these two sides. The church. Does the church see you that way? Does the church see your gifts there? That's why you, as members of the church, nominate. And I'm never in a position to say, I'm going to be a pastor. I can say that that's what I would like to be, but I'm never going to be a pastor unless a church says it. Yes. But then there's that fourth one. That's the elders of the church. Or let's call them the presbytery for pastors. You nominate, you elect. But why do you elect? Because the elders of the church have seen the nominee, they've examined the nominee, and they put that nominee before you for election. So every officer in the church goes through those four stages, as it were. No one can ever say, I'm going to be this and plan on it, not without the church acknowledging the gifts, not without the presbytery acknowledging the fact that the person is able and understands the Word of God. So you have leaders that have been put to the test. They are over you in the Lord. And they have the right to admonish you. Now the word admonish in this case, if anybody is familiar with Jay Adams, you've heard of nouthetic counseling. And the word does mean that. It also means counsel. They admonish, they counsel. Could mean discipline. But it's verbal. It could mean discipline, counsel, admonish. They do this, and that's their work. The work of the church is ministerial, it's declarative. In other words, it's verbal. Ministers of the church have no right to do any kind of physical punishment. The church is not that. God has not given the church to that, but to speak, to counsel. Hold them in highest regard in love because of their work. Two passages in Hebrews 13, easy to remember, Hebrews 13:7 and 17. 7 and 17 of Hebrews 13, last chapter. And it says in verse 17 of Hebrews 13, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, so that would be of no advantage to you. Obey your leaders, submit to them. They have to give an account. So you hear in the prayers for you, for others in the church, for various individuals within the life of the church, not only this church, but other churches. And then the call is to you, as Paul continues at the end of verse 13, live in peace with each other. Live in peace with each other. Peace, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Quite often in memory verses, that's probably as far as some people can get, read the rest of it as well, and memorize them. But that's a fruit of the Spirit, peace. We are called to be peacemakers. And likewise, the session, as much as they want to hold to the purity of the church, they also want the peace of the church. They want you to be at peace. How can you be at peace? You can be at peace by knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And your session wants you to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. In Romans 5, verse 1, we hear this beautiful passage, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God is the result of being justified, of you having a faith in Jesus Christ, holding on to Him alone, not looking at yourself, but holding on to the cross of Christ and the Christ on that cross, and knowing that He has fully paid for all of your sins. Peace begins there. Everything that breaks down in this world, well, in our lives, everything that breaks down in our lives was laid upon Jesus Christ. Everything in your life that puts you at odds with others, and that where you have the temptation in your own mind to start separating yourselves from others in the church, was laid on Christ. And He covers you with His righteousness as He takes up your sins. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, having been justified by faith. Going back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. In Jesus' Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers. And what is the blessing of the peacemakers? They will be called sons of God. They'll be called God's own. You will belong to God just as if you were His own, and you are His own. You inherit the blessings of heaven, you inherit blessings of eternal life, the blessings of God's presence. John says it in 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Live at peace with each other. That is one of the purposes of the session. That's one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's one of the results of putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will have peace with God. Not only have peace with God, He enables you to be a peacemaker, and as a peacemaker, you will know what it is to be a child of God. All the benefits of His inheritance are yours. Eternal life. Nothing that the world understands, and how we wish the world would understand that. How we want others in this world to know Jesus Christ is their Savior and Lord. But then we come back to the church. And this time, Paul is still talking to the members of the church. As much as the session may be responsible for this, all of us are responsible for this. As Paul uses the words, we urge you, brothers. And different translations say different words here. Those who are idle. That's the one translation that I have here. And the word idle can mean that in Thessalonica, the people that figured that Jesus Christ is going to come sometime while they're alive really didn't have a whole lot to do. They were just kind of biding their time. You see what false doctrine does. We're to watch and to wait. We are to watch and work. We do the both. The same time. It was Martin Luther, I've repeated this many times before, but Martin Luther who said that if I knew Jesus Christ was coming tomorrow, I'd plant a tree today. Think that through for a moment. He's not going to see much of the growth, but yet he's going to do the work that he has to do, that God has given him to do today. The word word idle in some of your translations may also say those who are disruptive, those who are unruly. Warn them. Warn them of their way. And yes, there's discipline involved. Who goes to whom when there is a problem in your life? When you know somebody has something against you because you've done something, or somebody else has done something and you know that, who goes to who? Now, quite often we think to ourselves, well, if he is that concerned about my wrong here, they better come to me. You know, the Bible says you're both responsible to go to each other. You take Matthew 5. You offer your gift at the altar. Remember, your brother has something against you. Leave your gift. First be reconciled to your brother. So you're the problem. Or at least somebody thinks you're the problem. Go to that person. Or Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Your brother's the problem. Who goes to whom? You go to your brother. In either place, you go to the other. If someone is caught in any transgression, Galatians 6, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch on yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He also says, encourage the timid, the faint-hearted. Timothy was accused of that by Paul. Timothy, you're timid. That's an easy one to remember, isn't it? Timothy, timid. He tended to hesitate. He was young. Don't let your youth become the issue. But encourage the faint-hearted in the life of the church. There may be those who are faint-hearted because of disease. There may be those who are faint-hearted because they don't feel like they're able to do what they're supposed to do. Be by their side. Be by the side of your fellow members in Jesus Christ. And help the weak. Who are the weak in the church? Well, the weak could be any number of things. Romans 14 is written about the weakness of some in the church. And the weakness of some of the church is because they had so many laws that really protected them from getting at the real thing, that held them away from Jesus Christ. We want to put in a picture today, don't smoke, don't play cards, don't dance, don't drink. You know, you've heard this before. And it's like the Ten Commandments aren't even around there, but these are the commandments that we really watch and that we really look at other people and stand over them. But really, they are weak. They are weak. They really can't. If you eat meat that was offered to idols, you really can't eat that with them if you know that. Otherwise, go ahead. But whatever it is, their weakness needs to be educated. They need to grow. And you need to stand by their side. The session needs to stand by their side. What a blessing that is. And so in the fourth place, peacemakers are patient with each other. Patient. I had an elder in one of the churches that, a dear elder, that he loved that word. And the Greek word was, makrothumeo. I doubt if you know what, thumeo has to do with. With suffering, long suffering. Macro, that you understand. You've heard of macroeconomics, microeconomics, macro, the way people develop, the way nature develops, as it were, and micro. But macro, but just think of that word for a moment. Macro suffering. Long suffering. And now combined in that one simple word, patience. That's what it means. And patience is hard to come by. There are many things that test our patience. You go through the fruit of the Spirit again, what comes right after? Peace, patience. Patience with one another. Bearing with one another in love, working with one another, not putting anyone to the side, but reaching out. No one in the church is above a servant. We installed two ruling elders this morning. And that ruling work of a ruling elder as well as a pastor is the work of a servant serving you. Be patient with one another. Be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. In whatever position God has given to you. And I'm not saying this to simply say Janesville really fails here, because I know Janesville doesn't fail there. I've seen so much patience on the part of the people of God here. That's a fruit of the Spirit. That's a gift of God. Continue in that patience. Many things will try your patience. The devil works hard to make everything look beyond what you're able to do or what you're able to bear. But Jesus Christ, He by His Spirit gives patience. And so, acknowledge one another. Acknowledge your leaders. Be peacemakers. Make peace with everyone. Hold one another accountable. Be patient with one another. In the last place, verse 15, peacemakers practice kindness to all, or goodness. Again, depends on which translation. The word goodness, it comes from the word good. Anybody know anybody in your family named Agatha? Agatha, okay, we know Agatha Christie. Okay, Agatha. But Agatha, Agathos, Agathon, Agathos, that's the word for good. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else, to be good to each other. Don't pay back wrong for wrong. Yes, the Bible does talk about eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but commentators talk about that as being criminal justice. When Jesus talks to the people in the Sermon on the Mount, He says, if someone slaps you on the cheek, give him the other cheek. If someone sues you to take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You shall love your neighbor. He says, you've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. There it is again, sons of your Father, children of God, blessed as heirs of the covenant. Practice goodness to all. If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? These are Jesus' words. So be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You see all the benefits in this passage? You're sons, children of God. And so I close with these words from a passage that was a memory assignment in one of our Christian schools. From Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. A lot of short statements like Timothy gives at the end of his letter. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now close at that point. You see the blessings of the peacemakers in the church. And it's from God and Jesus Christ. You cannot be a peacemaker without knowing Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him. That's one of the gifts he pours out for you. They respect authority. They live in peace with each other. They hold accountable one another. They're patient with one another. And they practice a goodness and a kindness to all. All in Jesus Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of your word. We thank you for the instruction of your word. We thank you, our Father, for calling us to live in such a way that we could not in ourselves, apart from our relationship with you as your children. Through faith in Jesus Christ, and through the blessing of leaders that you give to us who hold us accountable as well. And we pray, Lord, that we may do so with one another, that we may speak to one another in love, and that we may be patient with one another when we have need. For, Lord, we are not all in the same situation. Some have greater difficulties than others, and we pray for them, Lord. But not only do we pray for them, we pray for your help as we reach out and come alongside. Hear us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.